Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a vision for you big book study. My name is Melanie C. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater calling in from Canby, Oregon. Today is Wednesday, June 14th, 2023. And today we are reading from the big book. We're in the chapter Into Action on page 86. We're going to take apart paragraph 2 today, and it begins with, on awakening, let us think about the 24 hours ahead. And ends with, when our thinking is cleared of wrong motives. Today's readers are the 12 steps, Karen KZ. The 12 traditions will be Vanessa G. Reading the text and support for that today is Cheryl S. and Kara L. And greeting newcomers and getting sponsor contact information is Carla C. And reading announcements at the top of the hour will be Betsy H. Please stay to the very last minute. There's great stuff that always happens here at A Vision for You. You don't want to miss it. The share ID numbers for yesterday's 10 a.m. Eastern Time Big Book Study meeting, and that would be Wednesday, June 13th, 2023, is 20346, 20,346. And then this morning, the 7 a.m. Eastern Time Big Book Study meeting for this West Coast people, it would have been at 4 a.m., is 20,348, and that's for 7 a.m. June 14th, 2023. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. And I will ask Karen KZ to read those 12 steps. Good morning, Karen.
Good morning. This is Karen KZ in Missouri, gratefully recovered. Step one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly ask him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to do service. Pass.
Thank you very much. Karen KZ from Missouri. I will now ask Vanessa G. from New Mexico to read the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous.
Thank you, Melanie. This is Vanessa G. from New Mexico. I'm a compulsive overeater recovered in New Mexico. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is the desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. And 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Vanessa G. from New Mexico, for reading the traditions. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 immediately to remute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting and a quiet recording, everyone's phone except the one that's speaking should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book. We're in the chapter Into Action. We're on page 86 today. We're going to take apart paragraph 2 today. And it begins with On Awakening, Let Us Think About the 24 Hours Ahead. And then ends with When Our Thinking is Cleared of Wrong Motives. And I would like to ask Cheryl S. to start us out by reading and unpacking that paragraph today with her experience, strength, and hope. And then after that, we'll open up to the rest of the fellowship this morning to make comment on their experience. Good morning, Cheryl.
Good morning, Melanie. Thank you. This is Cheryl S., gratefully recovered in Nevada. On awakening, let us think about the 24 hours ahead. We consider our plans for the day. Before we begin, we ask God to direct our thinking, especially asking that it be divorced from self-pity, dishonest, or self-seeking motives. Under these conditions, we can employ our mental faculties with assurance, for after all, God gave us brains to use. Our thought life will be placed on a much higher plane when our thinking is cleared of wrong motives. And that is a pretty explicit set of instructions. And so I thought for me today, I would just share my experience of what I do on awakening. And I start each day in prayer and meditation. I set an alarm to wake up at 5:30 a.m., which is really kind of a miracle in itself. I am a morning person, but I never was a before 6 a.m. morning person. I go to a room in my house where the views are special to my heart. I take a bottle of water with me and I start hydrating my body. I get comfortable in a recliner and I say the rosary. And I personalized the three beads that are before the decades. And for me, just personally, the rosary is a form of meditation because of its repetitive prayers. And I really feel that it opens the channel between me and my higher power to have that meditation and that repetitive meditation, those prayers to start. So at the end of the rosary, I say the prayer of St. Francis. And I've memorized that prayer, so I just say it by rote. But when I'm disturbed, this prayer comes back to me, and it really challenges me. And it helps me to live my code of love and tolerance. Because when I'm angry with somebody, I don't feel like understanding their point of view. I don't feel like loving them. I don't feel like pardoning them. But because I say this prayer every morning, I'm like, I'm challenged. And I'm like, I have to do it. And next, I say the third and the seventh step prayers. And I'm reminded of who and what I am and who and what I want to be. And through these prayers, I ask God to transform me into who and what he wants me to be. Next, I say a prayer of letting go that I was given by a fellow in this program. And I usually say that prayer about my family to let go of my idolization and my fears around them. But sometimes I use this prayer when I need to pray for somebody for 2 weeks. It says in the program, if I'm disturbed by somebody, I pray for them for 2 weeks straight. And so I use that prayer, filling in what I need to personalize that prayer for them. And then I finish my practice, my morning practice, by setting a timer and sitting quietly with my higher power, or sometimes I do two-way prayer. And then I move on with my day. I start talking to sponsors or sponsees, and then I come to the meeting. But the results are that my relationship with the results of this practice is that my relationship with my higher power is more personal. I don't do a lot of praying during the day, but if I don't take this time, I don't feel the connection during the day, and I feel off balance. And I just want to close with where it talks about God gave us brains to use. So one of the things I do after the meeting is I prep my lunch and my fruit for dinner, and I do that in the morning. And the reason that I do is because I have slipped on my fruit before. And if I'm preparing that when I'm hungry, it's really difficult for me. And although I feel like I'm neutral around food, that's a stumbling block that's still in my life. And so I do that preparation in the morning because God gave me a brain. And just like that anecdote about, you know, the guy that's drowning and he gets to heaven and God, he says, God, why didn't you save me?
That would be
and God said, thank you. I sent you the fire department. I sent you the a boat. I sent you a helicopter. And you ignored those things. So that's why you drowned. But I was here with you. So that's how I use my brain. Thank you for letting me be of service. And I pass.
Thank you very much for starting us out this morning, Cheryl S. From Nevada. Now it's open for other folks that want to comment on paragraph 2, page 86 of the Big Book. And although we value all experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. If you give me your first name, the first initial of your last name, and state, I'll take a lineup.
Kara L., California.
Kara. Thank you.
Ian F.
Ian F.
Julie B.
Julie B.
Carrie N.
Carrie N.
Mary G.
Tom L.
Mary G. and Tom L. That's it. That's what we're going to take.
I'm late this morning. Where are we placed in the book?
Page 86, paragraph 2.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, let's get started this morning with Kara L. first up for 3 minutes, followed by Ian F. Good morning, Kara.
Good morning, Rowdy. This is Kara.
Oh, I lost your voice, Kara. Are you still there? Try one more time.
I'm back. Sorry.
Okay, good.
I got muted. Mm-hmm. Let's try this again. Good morning, Melanie. This is Kara L., recovered compulsive overeater from Long Beach, California. I love, you know, this reading here is really how I learned to take quiet time. I just followed the instructions that were given in the morning. You know, I get up every morning and I have quiet time. Now it's developed over, it looks different each day, but it's still about a half an hour, whatever it looks. If it's meditation, yoga with meditation, or if it's prayers or whatnot. But I didn't know how to take quiet time because for me, you woke up and the little busy brain got you moving and I just moved all day and I was in my own will all day. And I really like how this paragraph says, you know, before we begin, so I'm going to think about, it's going to tell me what to do. Well, I'm going to think about the 24 hours that's coming up. Okay, because my busy brain is like, yeah, got to plan, got to get going. But before I do this, I'm going to ask God to direct my thinking and especially divorce it from all those things that are self-pity, dishonesty, self-seeking motives. And then I can move forward with assurance that you know, what I'm thinking is in line with God's will, right? Because my thought life will be placed on a much higher plane when it's cleared of all of that self-seeking and dishonesty and it's divorced, like it's left my mind. And so what I would do is I would just get up and I would sit and I would read it and I'd say, okay, God, please divorce my mind from self-pity, dishonesty, self-seeking. And then I would just go through my day with God. And we're going to get more instructions as we move forward, you know, what happens when you run into something you don't know what to do. And so I would do just what this book said to do. I would stop and do that. And it helped me to have a practice. And I found it so helpful that, okay, this book is going to tell me how to start my morning, how to get on a plane, how to invite God into my life right from the get-go, right before my brain takes over too much and just pushes me into myself well. So that's what, you know, I love about this. It's so clear cut. Sit, ask for help, ask for input. All right, I can do that. And with that, I pass.
Thank you very much, Kara L. from California. Ian F., you're up next for 3 minutes. Julie B., you'll follow Ian in about three.
Hey, I'm Ian F., compulsive overeater. Very grateful to be here. Yeah, I mean, this is something my sponsor told me to read every morning for a really long time. She was just like, read this, get it in your brain, because it's going to help you a lot and it's going to keep you really grounded in your program. There's a lot of stuff that I personally have done. My morning routine has changed. My nightly routine has changed, but the spirit of this has never, like, I've never gone off that page. I think my favorite means of approaching this is I sit down with my morning coffee and I go, hey God, I want to talk with you about what my day looks like. And then I do, and I just pick through what I think my day is going to look like and what some of my anxieties are, you know, and I give them up right there. And sometimes they come back throughout the day and sometimes they don't. But it really can be as simple a relationship as, I need to talk with you, God. You know, I'm afraid I'm going to be inadequate at work, you know, because I'm worried about what people are thinking of me instead of how I can be useful. You know, how can I be right sized today? And I don't, you know, if you have a chair, if you have a stool, if you have a spot on the stairs, whatever it is, I don't get out of my spot until I feel totally, absolutely like God has got me. You know, then under those conditions, I can employ my mental faculties with assurance. Thought life will be placed on a much higher plane, and our thinking is cleared of wrong motives. I used to think that meant that I would be perfect that I would feel enlightened all the time and really clear and really calm. And I do feel really clear and really calm a lot more than I ever did before. But my experience of that specific idea, my thought life will be placed on a much higher plane. My thinking is cleared of wrong motives. It really means that I'm either going to be clear and calm, or I'm going to fall short of that and then realize, oh, I'm not clear and calm. There's something that needs to happen because I'm falling back into what I ask God to remove. Self-pity, dishonesty, or self-seeking. There you go. Oh, that's what it was. Okay, God, take it away. The goal to me is always, can I find some joy and can I find some peace in the morning before I go off into my day? And having that is a miracle. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Ian. Ian F. Next up is Julie B., followed by Carrie N. Julie B., your 3 minutes are now. What state are you from?
Thank you. I'm from Ohio. This is Julie B., compulsive overeater. Thank you for your service and for all those who give service to this meeting. It's slowly becoming my home group. Wow, the time in the morning just becomes so sacred and it goes by so fast. And I'm so grateful to God for allowing more time in my mornings. You know, he let me go from a role in my career that, you know, I never knew that getting fired would be a good thing, but it really projected me into what it is that I'm really called to do. So now I lean on God so much more, and just having that time in the mornings is so precious and essential. And now I'm not really able to sleep much past that time that I get
Maybe
up.
Maybe you
used
can
to get
just
up.
Show a potential employer that letter.
Oh,
hang on just 1 second. I'll take care
no
of it.
No worries.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. But yes, I did show them the letter. No, I'm just kidding. yes, just that time in the morning is so precious and sacred. And I just am grateful to have more. If there's a thing about being addicted to program, I feel like that might be me. I eat it up. And this is a wonderful paragraph, one that I'm happy to say that I do each morning of the week with two other people in program, where we get on a Zoom call, no matter what we look like, and read this on Awakening together. And then we have a few bullet points of what's an intention for today. How are you going to help yourself today? What does your self-care look like today? Who are you going to reach out to? And what can you do for your home environment? Like, there's just some things that I think just asking yourself, you know, and consulting with God that help. And a great reminder today to think about the 24 hours and to talk to God about that. I'm surrendering more in my calendar and being more flexible in my life. So I like that reminder. And just asking him, you know, this is on my calendar. Does it need to stay there? Is this your will? So his will be done. Thank you. And I pass.
Thank you very much, Julie B. from Ohio. Carrie N., your 3 minutes.
Hi, I'm Carrie.
Now.
Hi, I'm Carrie N. I'm a compulsive overeater, and so glad to I'm in the right place with the right people. I have been surprised by my compulsive overeating behavior twice in this last week, and I had that opportunity. My thinking. I started thinking about getting a certain food and eating it. And so when I read this part about under these conditions, we can employ our mental faculty with assurance, for after all, God gave us brains to use. And I've been villainizing my thoughts and the brain that God gave me to use, making it into the boogeyman, and been afraid of the whole process. And so when I read this, I've started a practice where the prayers in this section, I say thank you for them. So I say thank you, God, for directing my thinking, especially that it be divorced from self-pity, dishonest, or self-seeking motives. And that is where I'm headed today, to remind myself. These sentences remind me that I still have a brain. I don't need to shame myself and villainize myself over it, because God can handle my thinking, and I'm grateful for that. So I just wanted to say where I'm at for today, and say what's possible for me as I say that thank you that for God for directing my thinking. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Carrie N. Next up is Mary G. If you'd like to give your state, that would be helpful, followed by Tom L., and then we're going to open it up in about 6 minutes for additional comments. Paragraph 2, page 86 is where you're going to find us today. Hey, Mary.
Hi, good morning. This is Mary G., and I'm right outside Chicago, Illinois. I really like this paragraph. About 2.5 years ago, I was introduced to a way to do this prayer and meditation in the morning, and I'm sure a lot of you have heard of it, and it's just called two-way prayer. And, you know, before that, I took the 11th step almost as optional, and I was just, in all honesty, just it was just ignorance. I didn't know the importance of it. And today, I know the importance of the 11th step. If I don't do my morning quiet time, my day is off. I don't feel right. There's something about it. And I could say in the past 2.5 years, I have formed a relationship with my higher power. I never really understood that when people would say, you know, forming a relationship. I didn't quite get it. And now I get it. It's just like any other relationship. I had to put the time in and the effort, and now it's there. And now I feel when I don't do it, which is pretty rare, I feel off. Something's not right. So, yeah, I can't stress the importance of it. I feel like there was a point in my program where I almost made the importance of the 11th step a little bit too much, almost to a fault, where I was neglecting the other steps. So just a fair warning, don't do that. I feel like all the steps are obviously important, especially 10, 11, and 12. But I love my morning prayer and meditation. It's become such an important part of my day, and I would encourage all to, you know, find some sort of routine or method to do it and to stick with it. And with that, I pass.
Thank you very much, Mary G. Next up is Tom L. If you'd like to give your state, that would be helpful. And then we're going to open it up after Tom speaks in 3 minutes. So get ready.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for hosting this meeting. I'm Tom L. from California, although, like many of you mentioned, sometimes I am across the country in Florida. It's hot, and it's much later in the day. But I'm still Californian, so I go to this meeting. All right, my dad is failing. He is 91. He had a fall. By chance, I'm here for a week to be with him. So did I do this, read this paragraph this morning? You bet I did. Because if I'm in the food, and there's so many ways to be in the food, even dieting is being in the food for me, you know, where I'm running the show when it comes to what I eat. It's an obsessive, demented state of mind. If I was in that frame of mind, I would completely waste this week. I may not see my dad again, mentally, if not physically. This is a gift beyond price that I'm here, and I'm going to be on this meeting every day because I have to start this way. Now, we read it paragraph by paragraph. It's kind of blended all together. This is how you start your day, but this paragraph is very specific. It talks about a prayer that right now, God, as I understand him, and it's a hilarious thing what I understand, direct my thoughts. The thing that feels most personal to me, it feels closer than my hands, is what I think about. And I'm going, no, I'm not going to direct them. You come in, whoever you are, and you order them. Surprise the hell out of it. Because if I'm not, th- if if they're not my thoughts, I'm going to notice. I'm going, that's not my signature. That is something very odd. And it doesn't happen right away. But as I practice it over the last 2 years, and I was given this prayer way before I got to step 10 or step 11. My sponsor may have mentioned it. I forget. But one of my sponsor, Chain, a man who is quite impressive, you know, in his capabilities, very, very robust person. He said he has a way of talking about his higher power, which is like, you run the show, God. I have ruined it. I've humiliated myself and other people. I've hurt people. Please take over. And the way he, I guess you hear it from who you hear it from. I was going, okay, I'm not as openly bold and arrogant as he is, but internally I am. And I said, I started praying to this higher power, which at that point was a very, very shallow higher power. Now I believe it goes to my core. Can't get deeper than this higher power. You do that. You whatever the synapses are firing, you order those synapses. And then I will use, and this is the hilarious part, you will use it with assurance as if you're, you know, king of the world. You know, I my thoughts are ordered by God. What can stand in front, you know, against me? That doesn't happen quickly either, where I just let, you know, all right, I'm just going to go through like the Titanic. I hope there are no icebergs.
That would be time.
Okay. Anyway, thanks for letting me share. This section of the book is a lot of fun. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Tom L. from California, today in Florida. I'd like to open up the lines for those that haven't shared in the last 3 days to someone that would like to, or someone that would like to speak on paragraph 2, page 86. And good morning for those that are just now joining us. We're in the chapter into action.
This is Lane G. from New York.
Hi. Hey, Lane. Good morning.
Chris in
Washington.
Sorry,
Robin C. Robin P. in Costa Rica.
Patty, I got you also, Robin. I got Patty first. What was your first initial, Patty?
F.
S like in Sam?
F like in Frank.
Well, goodness, I had a 50-50, didn't I, on that one? Anybody else?
Polly B.
Polly B. Let's go with that five and see what time does for us here with that. But for sure, for right now, up first would be Elaine G. for 3 minutes. You're on, and then followed by Chris.
Hi, everybody. This is Elaine G. from New York. No, I didn't get to read this today. But after this meeting, I'm going, and I said, told myself I am not doing anything after this meeting unless I do my prayers and meditations. Or else, like somebody said, I just don't feel right, you know? And about the second paragraph on 86, yeah, I wrote down things people had said, and I realized that there's a lot to this paragraph than the ICs, and that, you know, I also see that I need to reading this paragraph to clear my mind, help God to clear my mind today, and like when I wrote about my 10 steps, I need to let go of them. And also not to have any self-pity for myself. I mean, like, it is what it is, you know? What happened yesterday is not part of today. Today is a fresh new day, and I can make it a really good day as long as I do my prayers and meditations and work my program. I notice when I don't work my program, my day really goes crappy, really crappy. And my sponsor, my new sponsor, tells me over and over, and that this is what I need to do. And thank you very much.
Thank you, Elaine G. from New York. Next up is Chris S. If you want to give your state, followed by Patty F. for 3 minutes.
Hi, This is Christ, it's K-R-I-S-T, and I'm in Washington, Christ S. in Washington. This is such a, this paragraph is a design, part of my design for living today. And I start with just what am I going to do in the next 24 hours, what I'm going to eat, the people I'm going to see, the telephone calls I'm going to make, the meetings I'm going to go to, and then the prayer. ask God to, dear God, direct my thinking, especially asking that it be divorced from self-pity, dishonesty, or self-seeking motives, because that takes me into blame and judginess, and I'd rather be grateful. This paragraph and that prayer also takes me right to page 133 at the top, where it says, God wants me to be happy, joyous, and free. He wants that for you also. And so I don't stay in those self-pity, dishonest, or self-seeking, because those emotions or actions, they cause so much misery in my life. And so as it says on page top of page 133, avoid the deliberate manufacture of misery. So if I'm in those other pity pot things for me, I'm not happy, joyous, and free. And I'm not spreading happy, joyous, and free. And so the last sentence in that top area says, cheerfully capitalize it as an opportunity to demonstrate his omnipotence. And this is an opportunity then for me to, instead of sit in my misery, no, step out of it and do God's service and help others. And I want to thank all of you for sharing your experience, strength, and hope, because it adds to mine. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Krista S. from Washington. Next up, Patty F., your state, please, followed by Robin P. from Costa Rica.
Hi, this is Patty F. in Massachusetts. I'm a compulsive reader. I'm going through some times where normally I would just be impulsive and do whatever I think is right. And I'm trying to practice the pause, you know, where I, you know, see what I think God really wants me to do, call other people, get some suggestions. I always wanted people to like me, and what if I make a decision that people don't like? What if everybody doesn't like me, you know, and it's just fear. instead of doing the hard thing, I'm just going to do the thing that people expect me to do and hurt myself in the process, you know, and I don't believe God wants that for me. So I heard on a meeting the other day, don't be a peace faker, where I don't want to make any waves. I'm just going to do whatever you want. And I think that's made me very sick, you know, in a lot of ways. So I'm grateful to be here. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Appreciate that, Patty F. from Massachusetts. Next up, Robin P., Costa Rica, followed by Polly.
Hi, good morning. This is Robin P. I'm a very, very grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Costa Rica. And thanks so much, Melanie, for your service and everyone else who makes this meeting possible. I'm really grateful to be here. I'm so grateful for Vision. Oh, my goodness. You know, every morning I get on my knees and I go through the first three steps, and I ask to be cleanly abstinent and sober today, and also that God directs my thinking, and that I'm so blessed, and that I'm a blessing. I'm so grateful for being so blessed. I had 7 years of abstinence one day at a time, and I was a low bottom bulimic and anorexic and compulsive overeater. I just had such a low bottom, and it's such a miracle every day that I can just live my life. And just, God, how can I be of service to you and my fellows and to your animals? You know, and a year ago, two starving, mange-ridden dogs showed up here, and we adopted them. They adopted us first, and they were jungle dogs, and they were starving to death. And, I just kept praying about them. I've done step work on them, and because I didn't know what to do, because we're coming back to the U.S. for 3 months, and we're looking for a home there for at least half a year. And I got a lot of counsel, and they would starve to death. We've asked everyone if someone could take them. I posted online, and so we're taking them with us. And one's a pit pointer. I'm used to little Maltese, and one's a lab dachshund. And we're taking them with us on the plane, and we're taking them with us in a Sprinter van for 3 months while we look at properties and see if we're meant to buy something in the U.S. and live there half the year. And literally, you can work the steps on anything and work the program and do 10 steps on anything. I can attest to that. And it's all the grace of this program. And it starts in the morning on my knees. And I'm so eternally grateful for you. God bless you guys with all a very blessed abstinent day. Thank you so much, Melanie. I pass.
Thank you, Robin P. Next up is Polly B. for 3 minutes, and we might have some more time after she
Thank
speaks.
Thank you, Melanie.
We'll
Polly B. Grateful to be here. In North Carolina, I recovered for today. Oh, rather than list what I do every morning, I thought I'd share out loud, because it's important for me to say it out loud, have witnesses, the effect that the 11th step has on me, particularly this morning practice, because for most of my life, I woke up sometimes hoping it would be my last day and sometimes wondering if it would be. By the age of 10, I already felt so damaged that there would be no place in heaven for me, no matter how many Hail Marys I said, and really gave up on God at that time. And as a result of working these steps, following the big book with magnificent guides from A Vision for You and other groups that use the big book, I have been able to reconnect with a higher power. And this morning practice is a way of claiming my right to be alive today and to live it to the best of my ability with guidance from higher power and guiding skin people. And as a result of that, I don't dread the day. I celebrate the day, even on bad days. And I have my gratitude list and that I do in the morning as well as the evening. And then prayer, meditation, and yoga. And all of that helps me get grounded and have a touchstone where I can go back to that feeling in the morning when it's between me and the birds and God. I can return there if I'm upset or something happens out of my control. And I go back there when I pause throughout the day. And it's just amazing to have those minutes to put myself first, followed by this meeting, usually at 7 and 8. And I'm really glad to be on the 10 o'clock meeting right now. And I'll pass with that. And thanks again, Melanie, for your service.
Thank you very much. Hey, it looks like time will allow for maybe up to 2 people to share on paragraph 2, page 86, and maybe up to 3 minutes each. We'll see what that happens. But anyone like to share their experience?
Vanessa G.
Vanessa G.
Kathleen W.
Kathleen W. is what we got here. Sorry, Margaret. We got Kathleen first. And
no worries.
Tomorrow to share. Okay, good. So step right in there, Vanessa G., and we'll see what the time goes then for you, Kathy. But hang close, Kathleen, I mean.
Hi, everybody. This is Vanessa G., recovered in New Mexico. And although I've studied the Big Book for a lot of years, this is the first time that I've gone through 10, 11, and 12, one paragraph at a time. And I'm really struck by the words self-pity and self-seeking appearing again in the Big Book. I just realized that, you know, the self-pity and self-seeking show up in, when we're doing our fourth step. They show up again in the promises. They don't show up anywhere in the middle and between there, between 4 through 9. And then they come back in when we awaken up, you know, when we get up in the morning. And it makes me realize, I guess, that all the time that I was going through 4 through 9, I was seeking God. I wasn't seeking myself for answers. And by the time I get to the promises, those two things have sort of slipped away. But when I get up in the morning, apparently when I've been sleeping, those things have come back and I have to get rid of them again and I have to become God-seeking once more instead of self-seeking. You know, before coming to program, I looked to myself for all the answers. And this is a completely new thing for me since coming to program. And it's held, you know, just really held me in its arms and in its care and its projection and protection, seeking God as opposed to seeking myself for the answers on how to approach my day, on how to approach life, how to live without one day at a time. Thank you so much for letting me share.
Thank you, Vanessa G. from New Mexico. Next up, and probably our last share today, if it goes the full three, would be Kathleen W. Good morning.
Good morning. Kathleen W. recovered in Illinois. Oh, my heavens. What a wonderful meeting. What wonderful shares that they're so inspirational in this area. I think in no other fellowship has I had in other programs as well that I'm in, has there been such a focus on steps 10, 11, and 12. And that has had a tremendous effect on my life and in the way I walk in my program. And so I would say these prayers, the prayer, you know, divorce my thinking, you know, self-pity, dishonesty, self-seeking. I would say that from time to time in the morning when it came to me. But now, you know, it's become more of a practice for me, like really upon awakening, this is what I ask for. And thing about step 11 for me, it's reminding me to ask God for help. Asking God for help is huge. It's not me trying to make myself better, a better person. It's me asking God for help. And that's when I can feel the presence of God. That's when I realize how God answers every one of my prayers, every one of them. And it's hard for me to just go and sit down in the morning. You know, that's my intention. I get distracted. Oh, this has to be done. I'll throw this in, you know, in the washer, blah, blah, blah. Or I'm just distracted with a lot of things on my mind. But when I make myself just sit down and I say, I'm coming to you, God, distracted. You know my anxious heart. I'm just sitting here. I'm asking. I'm seeking. I'm knocking. And I'm assured that if I ask, I will receive. If I seek, I will find. If I knock, the door will be open to me. And so I sit with that assurance and expectation in the morning. And also, you know, looking at some of my anxieties, I bring these to God, to God's care. And I'm feeling more and more the presence of God in the morning, loving presence, which I haven't really always felt. If I believe God, I did not believe God loved me. A lot like my father, my earthly father. You know, he was my dad, but I did not believe he loved me. And so I had that same relationship with God. But it's so changing now. God is revealing stuff to me in a loving way. And with that, I will pass. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Kathleen W. from Illinois. And that's that. We will now begin the process of closing out the recorded portion of the meeting with the reading of the big book on page 164, and we'll follow that by the Serenity Prayer, and we'll follow Serenity Prayer with 10 more minutes of meeting that's not recorded, so stick with us. Kara L., would you please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Good morning. Kara L., recovered compulsive overeater from Long Beach, California. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you.